The cost of production is no longer the problem when it comes to getting electricity from solar and wind power. Today, the biggest barrier is their variability. Judith Judson is the commissioner of the State Department of Energy Resources.
When we have renewable resources where the sun doesn't always shine, the wind doesn't always blow, we need something to back that up.
So, Judson says batteries can be the game changer. Electric companies in this state will be required to soon install battery systems that can store and release huge amounts of energy. Being able to do it quickly, cheaply, and safely is considered the renewable energy holy grail. And scientists at Harvard University say they're getting close.
I think we have a fighting chance of delivering on that holy grail within a decade.
Harvard University Professor of Materials and Energy Technology Michael Aziz has tested tens of thousands of compounds for his new battery. WBUR's Bruce Gellerman reports in part two of our Bostonomics series, Storage, the Search for the Renewable Energy Holy Grail, one battery ingredient is more at home in a pie than as a power source.
Harvard grad student Andrew Wong lifts up the plastic laboratory safety hood and adjusts beakers filled with yellow and red liquids. Then he turns on a pump to power his experiment.
The second I start running this, you can actually see color changes. You'll see it turn really dark, and that's because of some of the properties of the organic molecules.
This small experimental energy storage system looks and works nothing like your typical household battery. Here, the electrochemical ingredients are dissolved in water and stored in beakers. When those electrolytic solutions flow near each other, they create an electric charge.
And then one of the questions is, how do you take these novel chemistries and then maximize their performance?
Flow batteries have been around for 40 years. They use metals that react to generate electricity. But Harvard professors Roy Gordon and Michael Aziz teamed up to produce power from organic molecules. They started using a class of compounds known as quinones. The name sounds exotic, but finding them is as easy as pie. Rhubarb pie.
The function of these molecules in rhubarb is to store and transfer energy.
The press picked up on that and called it a rhubarb battery. We prefer to call it an organic megaflow battery.
The idea of using organic molecules like those in rhubarb is new. But chemist Roy Gordon says it's based on a very old technology.
Biology suggests that that's where we ended up after a billion years of evolution, using these organic molecules to store the energy in our bodies.
Rhubarb, like all living things, even us, contains carbon. In plants, those carbon-containing quinone molecules are found in chlorophyll. It's chlorophyll that drives photosynthesis by picking up and giving off electrons over and over again. And Professor Aziz says they do it without any signs of wearing out.
That's exactly the functionality you want in a battery. So we found ways to make them soluble in water and to change the energies at which they pick up and give off electrons, put it in a battery, and it worked. And we've been developing that idea ever since.
The Harvard professor's rhubarb days were a few years ago. Since then, they evaluated hundreds of thousands of organic compounds to see which ones could store and discharge energy.
90% of the compounds that we've made and tested are unsuitable for one reason or another, so we try to weed them out quickly.
The researchers used mathematical models of chemical structures to determine which were promising. They tried aloe vera and vitamin K. Then the quest for quinones expanded to other kinds of organic molecules, including compounds containing nitrogen, like vitamin B2. Tweak it a bit, and it makes a pretty decent battery. Roy Gordon says it turns out there may be plenty of cheap and easily found organic chemical feedstocks. The basic starting point for making these carbon-based materials is coal and oil. Though not your typical clean energy fuels, when used in an organic megaflow storage system, they become renewable resources.
It's not like burning it. It gets recycled in the batteries and keeps that carbon out of the atmosphere.
And the beauty of organic megaflow batteries, says Professor Aziz, is that to increase the energy output, all you have to do is fill big dump tanks with cheap chemicals.
We know enough now to be optimistic that the costs, when they're mass-produced, of at least a couple of our favorite chemicals can be very, very low.
The question is, how big an organic megaflow battery storage system would you need? Say, to store the electricity generated by the nation's first offshore wind farm, Block Island Wind.
Okay. So 30 megawatts of power. Suppose you want to store it for 10 hours. So that's 300 megawatt hours.
Aziz makes a back-of-the-envelope calculation.
300 million divided by actually 25 watt-hours per liter is... more.
That's enough electric storage capacity to supply 17,000 homes.
It's 12,000 cubic meters.
That's big.
Yeah, it is. We're talking about very large storage tanks.
Actually, it's about twice the volume as the Goodyear blimp. But right now, the lab's storage cells are the size of postage stamps, and the electrolyte solutions fit into small beakers. The best experimental battery isn't very powerful.
Typically about 1 watt comes out of these batteries, all right? And if you want to back up a wind turbine, then you're at 1 million watts. And if you want to back up a power plant, you're at 1 billion watts.
Professors Aziz and Gordon are now working on a new chemistry. They can't disclose the details just yet, but they're testing it in their lab.
You can see the pump pulsing with our new top secret chemical and pushing it out of this reservoir into the cell.
Aziz says the new class of organic molecules they're testing can pick up and give off electrons faster, better, cheaper.
This is the secret sauce. The black thing in the background is the secret sauce. If your eyes have spectrophotometers, you might be able to figure out, get a hint or two about what it is.
The Harvard scientists expect their research will be published soon. The challenge now is to scale up their work and create a cost-effective commercial battery. The U.S. Department of Energy has set the price and performance target to deliver the best bang for the buck in order to meet the renewable energy holy grail. Professor Michael Aziz believes he and his team are well on their way.
We have a fighting chance of being below $100 a kilowatt hour, and if we can do that, it will change the electricity system in this country and a lot of the world.
For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Bruce Gellerman.